Since now is the time and place for a public hearing on an ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2016. Mr. Lawson will give highlights of the operating budget. After that, there will be an opportunity for the council to ask questions. And then at that point, we will open a public hearing on this matter, and the public will be able to comment on the budget. And at this point, Mr. Lawson.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. Thank you, members of council. As you recall, we have spent the last several months developing today's proposed budget. Over the course of the better part of 3 months, we worked with our directors to develop the recommendation. We conducted a workshop with members of council and select directors, whereby you were able to receive detailed information contained within your fiscal year 16 budget proposal. That presentation was given on May 12, 2015. Where we introduced the formal budget, and now here we are at the budget hearing. The fiscal 2016 forecast is consistent with fiscal 15, to which we are seeing a small level of positive growth in most sectors. Nonetheless, we continue to take a very conservative approach and develop the budget that remains below our predicted taxable assessments because our expenses must remain at a sustainable level. As a result, we are forecasting budget revenues to increase at a modest 3%. I want to make or remind the council of one thing that's very important potentially this year. This budget was prepared with some assumptions. We assume the county will continue to receive 1.5% of realty transfer tax on eligible properties in unincorporated areas. And we also assume the county will continue to receive 30% from the state of Delaware to fund paramedic expenses. If the state were to change these revenue sources or pass any legislation that would further cut our revenues or raise our expenses, we would have to reevaluate this entire budget. Finally, in summary, the proposed budget, and I won't give you full figures, that we are recommending today, $53 million in general fund, $8 million in capital projects, $55 million in enterprise fund, and $11 million in fiduciary fund, bringing the total to $128,617,519.
Any questions from council? If not, this is the time and place for the public to comment. Is there anyone here today that would like to comment on the budget? Yes, Mr. Hitchens.
No, here you go. Ira, oh, okay, he's coming down.
Okay, we have several others. It'll do it.
Good morning,
here.
Councilman.
Good morning.
If you will, after you give.
I'm sorry.
Ira, after you give your name and address, if please sign in too, please.
I'm doing it right now.
Thank you.
It's I-R-A.
I will ask everyone when you come forward, please sign in at the podium.
I did say good morning, everybody. My concern is about the budget is, I don't understand about pay raises for retirees. I can't find anywhere where anything about pay raises for retirees. Can somebody answer me?
Well,
yes. Right. It's usually half of what the county is getting, which we're not getting a COLA, so there's no raises for the retirees as well. So it's zero.
You don't answer my question, but that's okay.
No, there's no raises.
The first thing is raises for retirees does not show up in the budget. That's a separate issue altogether, correct?
Correct. That comes out of the pension fund.
Out of the pension plan, not out of the budget. Mm-hmm. If there was going to be one, okay, it would not show up in the budget. It shows up, it's a separate issue dealt in the pension plan itself, okay? But there's no raises for county employees, no COLA.
Okay.
So then if there's no COLA for county employees, there's no COLA for retirees.
Okay.
And could you give us your address for the record, too, please?
My address?
Yes, please.
My name is Ira Hitchens. I'm from Georgetown, Delaware, and I am a retiree as a county employee for 14 years.
Mr. President, may I real quick, Ms. Jennings, could you repeat why we're not having a COLA? I mean, based on the information that have gathered, just for his reference?
Correct. We base it off of the federal level of inflation, and this year, as of the last report that came out, it's a negative inflation. So we are not giving a COLA because there's no cost of inflation at this point.
Thank you. I saw some other hands. There was a gentleman up here.
Well, there's a man up here, too. Here you go.
Yes.
Come on, you're standing up.
Come right on down, sir. You can come up there and sign your name up and tell us who you are.
I'm here to sanction council.
Could you give us your name and address, please? We need it stated as well.
Yeah, say it and write it. Mm-hmm.
I'm here to thank the council for including in the budget a provision for a study of the carrying capacity of the county. Mm-hmm. My name is Bob Chin. I've been an advocate of the elderly here in the county for AARP, both at the state and county level. There's an economic principle which says if something can't go on forever, it will stop. Those of us who moved here 15 years ago have seen a tremendous growth in the county, all for the better. We're concerned now for the many seniors who live here is whether or not we have the capacity to take care of those who live here and those who are coming in. So we're very grateful that you are studying this problem because we think that we need to have ensured a soft landing in the future. And this study, sir, will help us find the answer. Thank you.
Thank you. Could you give us your address for the record, please?
Just state your address.
Down here?
No, just tell us.
And also state it publicly.
Oh, my address is 33722 Mulberry Street. I live in Mr. Arlett's district.
There you go. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for
and there's another gentleman over to the left. And then I believe I saw a lady towards the back.
She was whatever.
Jump up like these men are doing.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh.
Thank you, sir.
What have we got here? Hi, I'm Chuck Schonder. I'm with the Inland Bays Foundation. I live in Ocean View, and my address is 29214 Marshy Hope Way in Ocean View. I'm here to support the full funding of Councilman Cole's carrying capacity study. I'm here to focus on the coastal economy, which I think is, you'll see from this report that this idea of using the coastal name came up in this report in June of 2012, the report that I gave you. I think that one of the things involved in our particular area, and I think the discussion a few minutes ago kind of highlights this, clean water is the foundation of many of the sectors of this coastal economy. The economy has potential for growth and expansion with the improvement of water quality. As you know, a large portion of the shoreline of the inland bays is closed to clamming for health reasons. We also have a severe limit on the consumption of many of our favorite local fish for the same reason. The report that I've given you from June 2012 highlights, one of the things that it highlights is the top 10 coastal industries. The second page, or the first page of the inside of the report, gives you the people who wrote this report and their credentials. They used the four coastal zip codes, which would be from Lewis down to Fenwick, the very coastal zip codes. And then they also included the 11 zip codes that surround the inland bays for this data. They mention in this report that there is much room for growth in revenue and jobs, and that the main factor for that growth is that clean water is the basis of many of these industries. The report states that in 2012, the revenue from this coastal economy is at $6.9 billion, with a B, that it supports 59,000 jobs. There's a discussion in here about a multiplier effect of the jobs that are supported in the coastal economy. The multiplier effect overall is 1.67. That means for every 100 jobs in the coastal economy, there are 67 additional jobs created statewide by that economy. And they also mentioned that there is a prediction by these gentlemen that that will improve as the dollars are spent more within the county, which they expect because our proportion of residents is growing as opposed to just second home population. These industries that depend on clean water will need infrastructure support for their growth. And I think the discussion on the airport earlier ties right into this point I'm making right now, that this study will give us a chance to look and gather data and have a better idea of where we are and where we're going in the next 5 years, let's say. And based on what's coming up in the next 2 years, we're certainly going to need as much information as we can have. And the focus of this statement is that our economy can improve along with the health of the bays. So that's my statement, and I fully support the study, and I think it's well-timed, and we need as much information as we can get to make these future decisions currently.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ma'am, you've been patiently waiting back there. Do you want to come forward? While she's waiting, can I see a show of hands, the others that want to speak? I see one, two.
Okay. Back there, two more.
Take a
trip. My name is Deb Schultz. This pen is... Okay. And I live in Lewis. I've lived there for over a decade, so that makes me still not local, new person. But I work with Meals on Wheels for the Lewis-Rehoboth Meals on Wheels operation, and I have been a counselor for the Delaware Medicare Assistance Bureau here in Sussex County for a number of years now. And just recently, I got involved with an effort to try to help the little community of Pinetown, which is one of the impacted communities. And in doing that, I've learned a lot about this county and been places in this county that I hadn't yet been to in the 10 years that I lived here. The problems that Pinetown faces, they're not unique to Pinetown. Every one of these little unincorporated rural communities faces problems with substandard housing, and they either have no infrastructure, basically, or it's inadequate. And I've given you the table I've given you of information. I broke it down by district that shows what of the so-called the designated impacted communities are in your district and how much money that community has received over the years from community development block grant and homes funding, which is essentially really the major source of funding for housing and sometimes some infrastructure for these communities. And there, it also shows the purpose of the amount. So when you look at that, you can see that some places have gotten more, some places haven't gotten too much. It doesn't tell you too much else about the community, but it does show you how the biggest sums of money have been used and spent. And I want to say that your community, our county's Community Development and Housing Office, is a wonderful resource. It's a great agency. The people that work there work very hard. They try the best they can, but the funding is limited to those annual grants from HUD, basically, and it's administered. Sussex County doesn't have the main control over the use of that funds, excuse me. And there's never enough in the pot for the needs, right? And the county has a long list of people who have gotten on a list asking for rehab help. And that list just really doesn't really grow shorter. You know, they keep doing rehabs, but the list continues to exist, and it used to be growing. I think now it's gotten so that it's stabilized, but it's still a long list. So I have a basic suggestion. I mean, you might consider that you could possibly realign or reapportion the budget so that the Community Development and Housing Office could receive funding equivalent to something like libraries. I think I had sent an email to Gina asking
Speak
about.
Up a little bit.
I sent an email to Gina asking about the breakdown, an explanation of some of the tax dollar breakdown, and 4 cents out of the dollar goes to this community development and housing, and 5 cents goes to libraries. And I thought, well, maybe if you put one more penny toward this community development and housing, you could do it. You might have sufficient funds to do some of the things that would really make a big difference for the people trying to live in these communities. Perhaps you could develop a fund that the county itself would be in charge of to serve some of these causes. Or you could invest in infrastructure development in the communities more directly, because that just really doesn't happen much now. Or you could even create a grant writing position within the community development and housing, because there's other grant monies that are out there, things like solar lighting or other infrastructure sources of funding, just some way to increase and leverage the amount of money that's available for these needs, because they're big and they'll keep growing. And I also just want to say too, before I walk away, I think that the carrying capacity study is a great idea. I commend you on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And there was another lady back here that wanted to speak. Oh, yes.
Hello. My name is Mary Sue Sharp, and my address is 5538 Mills Road, Milford, Delaware. And I'm just going to kind of read my letter because I'm extremely nervous, but I feel as though it needs to be said. Number one, because I'm affected by it. There are other people that are being affected by it as well. I don't think it's quite fair, income that they're going to change. I wish to express my sincere disappointment with the information given to me concerning Sussex County employees' pay grade levels, as well as the future cost of living raises. It has come to my attention that by this recent pay scale evaluation proposal being put into place, it is to benefit new and recently hired employees with Sussex County and to penalize those Sussex County employees with long-standing tenure. It seems like a form of discrimination. With this preparation of this proposal, was it based on the pay grade levels, or were years service factored into the overall pay grade maximum? Also, was a change or an addition in pay grade level ever considered? Because naturally, with time comes experience. Are the Sussex County employees with managerial positions as well as those with individual titles subject to a maximum income, and have pay grade levels been changed or added to accommodate their future increases. While all my life, I was under the impression that keeping a job, one job, throughout your lifetime was quite an achievement to be proud of. This proposal contradicts any worth ethics we may have taught our future generations, such as my son that has worked 25 years for Superfresh, and myself that has worked 39 years for Sussex County. With this proposal, Sussex County is saying that at a certain time in your career, when it really matters, your income will max out, which will affect your retirement and your Social Security benefits for the future. No more increases for me. In recent years, many benefits have been decreased or have been taken away, such as an anniversary raise, and now they want to put a freeze on their income. I assume that this is all being done to cut costs. All the while, new jobs and titles with substantial pay grades have been continued to be created. I do not know how Sussex County can justify the proposed income changes. I have the utmost respect for my superiors and their decisions. The intent of this letter is not to criticize anyone in any way, but common sense tells anyone that this pay grade level and the cost of a living evaluation is extremely unfair to employees with significant tenure with Sussex County government, such as myself.
So you're saying people that max out, mm-hmm, their pay level remains the same unless there's an overall raise?
Well,
for
I think
everyone
that they'll get a, it's my understanding, if I'm not, mm-hmm, wrong, that if there's a cost of living raise, mm-hmm, I will get a one-time,
yes,
cost of living raise, but everyone else will get that, say it's $1,000. Everyone else will get that $1,000 each and every year. I lost my husband 2 weeks ago.
I'm sorry. Oh.
And all I got is my money now. That's all I've got to live off of. I was used to living off of his. But, you know, that's, to me, this is not fair. I don't see how you can justify doing it. It's just, you know, and there's other people that are coming. I sit here, I've been here, like I say, 39 years, and I see other people coming into the county with substantial incomes. Mm-hmm. I've worked hard for my income. I mean, I've worked in assessment and I've worked in treasury. I've tried to learn as much as I could, you know, and be helpful to the customers. And I feel like it's a slap in the face. I'll be honest with you. That's the way I feel about it. This is a slap in the face. Whoa, you're not worth it anymore. You know, that's the way I feel. I'm sorry if I feel that way.
Thank you very much for your comments. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Sorry for your loss.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Mr. Kramer.
Hard to believe. Everyone back here.
Okay, I see another hand went up. I'm sorry. I'll get you next.
We don't pay.
They're changing size to.
Is he on the payroll?
No. His daughter's on the payroll.
My name is Dan Kramer, 8041 Scott Store Road. Now, this budget, as far as I'm concerned, is based on a flat-out lie. Why? Well, first of all, right out of the gate, it says, well, we're expecting $20 million in transfer taxes, but we're only going to show $16 million of that. So guess what? You got a couple million dollars sitting there that will never be in the budget and will never be audited, and you will never be able to find it. So you can spend it any way you want to. Well, now let's talk about these wages. For 18 years, the Rat Party gave all the employees a cost of living. Some years it wasn't much. Some years it was better. But at least they got a cost of living raise. Now, here comes the repos. And ever since then, the county employees have been kept putting further and further into arrears because you haven't given them basically anything. Now, here we go again. Supposedly, you're going to have a wage pay grades of all kinds of things. I want to know, and I want to show in the budget, where that is in the budget. Not on some other piece of paper or at some other time. I want to see it in the budget because I have yet to find it where that thing is listed. And if it's not listed, you're not going to put it into effect. I don't care what you do. You're not going to put it into effect. You can't put something in effect that's not in writing. Show it in writing where this is approved. First of all, let's go back when the personnel board had their hearing. And by the way, why isn't there any cost of living raises? Oh, I'm told because we wouldn't want to give everybody cost of living raises because we got some people that show up just for a paycheck. Well, then why, if they're just here for a paycheck, why haven't you fired them? In fact, I can name off about four, five, six of your department heads that are here just for a paycheck. Because if it wasn't for their peons underneath them, they wouldn't even look good. They wouldn't even know what to do. They would have no concept of how it runs. But yet, their peons are getting kicked in the face and every time they turn around. What's wrong with that picture? There again, let's go back to the personnel board. Here we had a personnel board, and why you guys don't look into what you're required to do unless you guys went back in the executive session and you voted in executive session and discussed something that you weren't supposed to, show that to me too. You aren't very honest with you going to do that kind of stuff. Prove it that you didn't do it. I don't have to prove you did it. You got to prove you didn't do it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Kramer.
Okay, we had one other
person. Else had her hand
person.
In the back.
Ma'am?
Yes.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jill Wilson from Sussex County Paramedic Association. I'll give you their address, which is P.O. Box 17, Georgetown, Delaware. I have a question concerning the COLA also. I know that the COLA is based off of your federal CPI for 1 year. So my question is, how have you kept up over the past 5 to 10 years? Because if you look at the CPI on the internet, you're actually about 50% behind if you do a cumulative over the 5-10 years.
We have that number. Well, Gina will have to pull
okay.
it up.
The 5 years is 1.8, but that does not account for the negative of this year, so it would be less than that, but that was as of this year. And then 10 is 4.95.
Okay, but we haven't gotten a COLA raise in how many years?
Last year.
Was it a COLA or a bonus?
No, there was a COLA.
We got a COLA last year, and 2 years ago, it was in the budget for 2%, and it was actually recommended that we get it, and it was turned down, and we got a $750 bonus. Is that correct?
I don't know that. I have to ask Mr. Jennings.
Last year, we got a COLA, 2% across the board. Year before that, we got the equivalent in a one-time bonus.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that doesn't actually go towards our retirement, correct?
That is correct.
Bonus do not.
Okay.
COLAs do.
Okay.
I think it was really to help bring the bottom people up, make them more even. I think that's the purpose of that reason.
Well, for reference, I mean, you mentioned 5 and 10 years. So do we have those numbers, 5 and 10 years? COLAs.
That was cumulative for
gave.
Those.
Okay. She just gave the numbers.
So, yeah, what she's saying is over the last five years, the inflation rate was 1.86%. I'm just trying to get this right. And then over the last 10, it's increased 4.95%, correct?
Yeah, the only thing that I don't have is when a $750 was given, is because it wasn't a percentage, I couldn't include that. So it might be a little bit less than that, but these are percentages. So if we gave a 2% versus the inflation rate at that year. But sometimes they do give a $750 or $500. That's not included in those numbers.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else that wants to speak concerning the budget? Is there anyone else? At this point, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on the budget.
Yeah. We'll close public hearing and any comments from council? Yeah. Mr. Cole?
I would. I've got
to turn your phone off.
I got that. Your name went off as a message or something. I got concerns also about the new pay scale, and I do concur with some of the older or seasoned and more experienced employees have been long-term with the county. And there is, it appears to be some a lack of opportunities for them to be able to move up or get higher pays, you know, or move to another pay grade at this stage in their careers and stuff. My understanding is there's probably 18 to maybe 20 employees out of 500. I think it would be reasonable to try to accommodate those employees. I do understand why we're going to the new pay grade. I have no problem with that. But I do also understand people who started with the county many, many years ago, and there were certain rules in place. And then at the tail end of their career, they get caught with something like this, and they feel it's not beneficial to them. I do believe that's the only thing I really have heard about throughout the whole budget process as being a concern. So I would like to see if there's any consensus on trying to address the concerns of those handful of employees that have been here a long time.
More? How do we do that?
Well, we do have the opportunity to anything in the budget, because it's been advertised, the budget's been advertised as the public hearing, so we could make amendments to the budget, and it would take an amendment to the budget. We would not have to re-advertise it, in my opinion. We would need some kind of verbiage. I don't think that's something we can just come up with.
I don't have any prepared. Either. You're looking at me. I'm not an attorney.
I don't understand if they're maxed out why they can't find a superior position, be moved to another position that does pay more. Are we maxed out? I mean, no other positions that available to these
Do we
folks?
Have any option, Mr. Moore, to Well, I guess the question is, we can do one of two things. We can approve the budget as presented, or we can defer this till, I guess, 2 weeks from now, the last day of the month. Got no options then.
And
give Mr. Cole time to write up whatever he wants to write up.
I would defer to Mr. Moore if he would address it, how we could do it. And if there's, I think you understand what I'm trying to do, and I think Todd does, I think Gina does, I think everybody does. If there's a consensus, if there's not a consensus, there's no sense wasting, you know, Mr. President.
That it be looked into.
Yeah. Mr. Arlett.
Yes. The only comment / concern that I would make publicly, as I have made elsewhere, and that is just, you know, I don't want to make sure that we as a council break any promises to that of our employees. I mean, it's the bigger picture. So. And I don't know how the hiring process has been done prior to me, but I just my bigger concern would be more to ensure that we do not break any promises that we have made, if we have made any at all. That's my only comment.
Mm-hmm. Anything else from council?
I have a question.
Mrs. Deaver.
I was wondering, did the state employees have a raise this year? Do you know?
They
know.
They haven't adopted a budget.
They have not adopted the budget, and as far as I know, there is no COLA recommended in the state's budget this year.
It's not recommended?
Correct.
Mrs. Deaver, I'm not talking about a COLA. I'm just talking about the
He's talking about the 18 or 20 people that are maxed out.
Yes, but this testimony indicated that when you're maxed out, the only way that you can get a raise is by an overall COLA. That's what I'm asking.
Well, I'm not combining it.
They could get a bonus for doing something, could they not?
That's
That's correct.
Yeah.
Bonus?
Sure. Sure they can, yeah.
Okay, it can move
my
up
point up. Is, folks, is I'm not trying to intermingle any of these other issues. It's about the pay grade schedule we've been looking at and the impact it has on a handful of employees. And I just feel that I feel it would be responsible to address those employees that have been here, you know, a long time and have very few opportunities to be able to move to another pay grade because of, you know, having to do certain things or just not having the ability to do it. So anyway, I just want to know if there's a consensus. So if I don't know, is it something ever, can we take a consensus to see if we would like you to do some wording? Otherwise, there's no sense, there's not a consensus today to do it.
Well, would it be, let me ask this question. Is there a way to adopt something that would say that if there is a COLA down the road given, that any employee, I guess you have to, the ones that are, you're talking about the 18, 20 people now, of those people, that they would receive the COLA versus a bonus, which would then add to their pension. Mm. Is that what you're after?
I don't think. I think what I'm trying to do is just to say that with the new pay grade schedule, there's certain employees that are impacted by it. I don't know if we need to. Again, I may be wrong. The linkage with the COLAs and all this other stuff, it's just new pay grade schedule we've looked at affects a handful of employees differently than others because of their longstanding employment with the county. So, I the COLA is another issue. I don't like I said, you're bringing in the COLA. I think, unless I'm wrong, I don't think there's a connection.
Todd,
is there a connection with the COLA?
And the COLA is the only
pay grade?
I think what Mr. Cole is referencing is exactly what you said. Our long-term employees, if the salary structure is adopted and they fall outside of the acceptable grade for that position, they will no longer receive an increase if a future COLA were to take place. They would receive the equivalent in a one-time bonus, but they would not receive the salary increase.
Which benefits their retirement.
Correct.
And that's the linkage I think the employees are so concerned about, is that they've been doing this under a certain system that's been benefiting their retirement. And again, at this stage in their life, retirement is very important. But so I'm just, if there's a consensus to try to address those 18 to 20 or whatever the number is, I think it's about 18.
And the 18 to 20 we're referencing is the salary structure, if adopted, they fall outside of the grade max right now.
Right.
That is recommended. Outside of it.
Well, I thought they had met the max.
No, they're making more.
They were making more money than the max of that job.
Oh, they're more than. Over, okay.
So
mm-hmm. The COLA is the whole thing.
Correct.
So the difference is the way it is today, they would not get a COLA in their paycheck and added to their pension. They'd get a one-time check in that amount. Whereas what you're talking about doing is those 18 or 20 people, the COLA would be a regular on their increase in their salary.
It would benefit their retirement. I think we need.
What we're talking about is the COLA. That's the only thing we're talking about. COLA.
I guess. Right. However you want to structure it. I'm just concerned about
when.
The new system will not help the retirement package.
One comment, Mr. President, may I?
Sure.
And that would be, perhaps the compromise would be, and that is for those that are plateaued. And maybe there's a length of employment requirement, okay? And if they are plateaued, and in the event a bonus is provided, that bonus is to be part of their retirement. To be calculated towards the retirement. Maybe that is the compromise, if you would. If they've been an employee for so long, and if they are plateaued, and if they receive a bonus, that bonus would go towards their retirement. End of story.
But you would just give them a COLA anyway, versus saying a COLA and a bonus, just give them a COLA. Like everybody else, every employee would get a COLA, we'll say. They would also get the COLA, which would then add to their pension at the end of their tenure here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if we had an overall COLA, I didn't hear anything said about this. I don't know about the bonus. I don't know what. I don't. Is that a consideration for these folks?
The bonus
as a way to resolve it.
What they would get let's just say, for example, whatever, mm-hmm. there was a COLA given of X percentage.
Right. Mm-hmm.
those employees who are beyond the max of their pay grade, instead of getting the COLA in their paychecks, they would get a one-time payment.
But that wouldn't
not affect your pension.
That wouldn't be this year.
No, initially nobody gave anything. That's correct, but
I mean
in the future.
2016.
In the future, next year, whatever.
This budget.
Jennings, any ideas from your end?
Yes. The way the budget is presented, it doesn't affect the budget how you present. The money's there as the way it is. So, because there's no COLA, so no matter how you adopt it, the budget ordinance with the dollar amounts won't change. The only thing that's in the ordinance states that we will adopt the salary structure for the ending 2016. So we just need to be clear what that salary structure is. Mm-hmm. But the ordinance itself, the amounts, nothing changes. Mm-hmm. So
my concern is we've just come up with this new salary structure.
Wait, we understand that.
Right. It impacts some people. I'd like to have those people take care of it. How do you do it? Tell me how.
This year you would. I mean, nothing will affect them because there's no COLA,
right?
So they won't get anything. Nobody gets anything.
Okay. But we set up a system. I'm just saying. I just like to have something that we would understand that would guarantee these people. Not so that we're sitting here debating it every year.
Sure.
You know. So those 18 employees, till they retire, would be.
So what we could do. We're two separate things. We're talking the salaries as it relates to the budgetary line item this year for FY16. We could still go through and adopt the budget. We could come back and work on the salary structure as it relates to the personnel policy, as it relates to whatever development that you want, policy that you would like us to develop and recommend for these 20 folks that fall outside of their maximum pay grade right now. Mm-hmm. Whether you approve the budget today or June 30th, nothing is really going to be affected because there is no recommended COLA right now. So the staff members that share this concern would not be affected today. They would not be impacted today. So we could work on this in the future, and we could figure out a way legally to run a policy through, or if we wanted to amend the code. I don't think we necessarily need to do that. This could be done policy-wise. For these particular group.
It's fine. I just was trying to get a consensus if there's support to do that. If there is, we'll have the staff, Mr. President, work on it. If there isn't a consensus to try to take care of those 18 to 20 people, then there's no sense using staff time up to do something. So again, I don't know if I need to get a consensus to date.
But you could make a motion to direct staff to analyze as we discuss, and if that motion directs us to do it, then we would take
that
direction.
So moved. I'll do that.
Second.
Wait. We need to deal with this budget first. We're on the budget process.
Okay.
We've closed the public hearing.
Uh-huh.
Any more questions or comments from council?
Well,
Mrs. Deaver.
If we're looking at this, then where do we stand on voting on the budget itself? Can we do something outside of that? We've approved the budget.
The subject George is talking about has no effect on this year's budget.
Okay. Okay. So there's...
Is that a correct statement?
That's a correct statement.
Okay.
And then I can make a motion after the fact, which
yes,
is...
Yes, sir.
Which,
okay. Because it's a separate issue. It's a pay scale issue.
Okay, we'll just see if we can get a consensus.
Right. In that case, we will also close the public hearing and public comment.
Mm-hmm.
We are now...
Yes.
Well, I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
I'm so sorry. I just have one other question.
Please.
Come down. Do we have... Mr. President, the public hearing's been closed.
Oh, you're right. No, I'm sorry. We closed public hearing. I'm sorry.
Public hearing's been closed.
We didn't close comment. We closed hearing. Yeah.
Okay.
Any comments from council?
Right. I'm done.
Okay. Then we'll close comments. We will ask Mr. Moore to read the short title.
An ordinance establishing the annual operating budget for fiscal year 2016.
Pleasure, council.
Make that motion.
Thanks.
Motion, Mr. Cole. Second, Mrs. Deaver. Mm-hmm. Any questions on that motion? We'll take the vote. Mrs. Deaver.
I have to say, yes. I also, like to remark that there were some things I wanted in that budget, and I didn't get what I wanted, but most of it is just wonderful, but I guess we all don't get everything we want. So, yes.
Mr. Cole.
I got everything I wanted.
Good for you.
I got that carrying capacity study funded, and I think it's going to be very helpful to all the stakeholders in Sussex County, whether you're on either end of the development issues. Everybody will have, I think, get something out of that study, and it's going to be very helpful when we go towards the updating of our land use plan in the next couple of years. So it's going to be a good tool to have. So I'm thankful that that's in there.
Mm-hmm.
And you voted yes?
Yes.
Thank
yes.
you. Mr. Arlett.
I do want to thank Gina and her entire staff. I know it's very challenging, and I also want to thank Mr. Lawson for putting together the budgetary workshop. I think that was a very valuable dialogue for everybody involved, and I think it was very beneficial for me personally, and I'm sure for the rest of the council members as well. And no budget, this is my first time going through it, and there's a lot to it, I will tell you. It's immense. And so I think all in all, I think it's a very responsible budget for the county government to propose this and to adopt it. And I'd like to see some changes coming in the future, which I think we've already addressed that. But for this current budget, I will vote yes.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I also vote yes. Motion carried. Now then, we have another continuing on our public hearings for the assessment rolls for sewer and water districts.
Mm-hmm. Yes, thank you, Mr. President. The next public hearings for the assessment rolls for sewer and water districts, and Ms. Jennings is going to give a brief explanation of the assessment rolls, at which time, when she has completed, the council can ask questions, and then it will be open for public hearing.
Okay. Thank you. The assessment rolls reflect the county's records for equivalent dwelling units, EDUs, and billable front footage for each sewer and water district. These records have been made available in the billing office for public inspection and review. These records are subject to individual appeal via the Board of Assessment Review. This is not a public hearing on the water and sewer rates. This public hearing is on the list of properties and other applicable front footage and EDUs that will be billable by the rates established in the rate ordinance. And then I have a motion once we close.
More back to you, sir.
Were there any questions from council? If not, is there any member of the public like to address this issue? Any member of the public? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close public hearing, close public comments, and ask you to read a short title.
This would be a motion.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Ms. Jennings.
Be it moved that the Sussex County Council hereby adopts the assessment rolls for all Sussex County sanitary sewer and water districts for the period of July 1st, 2014 through June 30th, 2015.
I'll make that motion.
Motion, Mrs. Deaver.
Second.
Second, Mr. Arlett. Any questions on the motion? We'll take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Mr. Arlett?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
I'll be yes. Motion carried. Thank you, ma'am.
Okay. And then we have one more public hearing, Mr. President. And it's an ordinance establishing the annual sewer charges, assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charges for Sussex County Water and Sewer Districts. Ms. Jennings, again, is going to give a report, after which council has an opportunity to question, and then it will be open for the public. Ms. Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. I would like to review some highlights that are in the sewer and water budget. First, we are on our sixth year working towards a unified sewer rate. We started with 23 rates and are now down to 5 with this budget. Service charge rates will increase $8 a year for most districts, and the Long Neck District will see a $12.57 annual increase to bring them to the unified rate. Assessment rates are at the same amount as fiscal year 2015. This is our second year unifying our connection fees. The county added 1,542 EDUs in 2015 and expects to see another 1.7% increase again in this budget. The water budget is relatively flat, and there is a 7.6% increase in the sewer operating budget. The increases on the operating side have to do with the utility costs and the repair and maintenance costs. Capital expenses increase $1.5 million because of $1.4 million of pumping system improvements that are planned to be completed in fiscal year 2016. Lastly, it is budgeted to continue the 100-foot cap for non-delinquent residential users.
Thank you. Are there any questions from council?
I didn't quite understand. You said the water budget is flat.
It's flat. It's 13,000. Mm-hmm. So the rates are not going up.
All right. So okay. All right.
They're the same.
And I would think it's probably that my question probably gets handled elsewhere. I have a group of folks who are looking for help as far as clean water to drink. And I don't know if there's any money in there to help them, or I would think it's available elsewhere. But their water is contaminated, and we do provide water, as a matter of fact. But I'm just asking, is there any way that any of this can be applied
to help them.
So this water budget specifically to the Dewey Water District.
Well, that wouldn't help my people then.
Okay. There are no other questions from council?
Well, I'll make my yearly comment. The unified sewer rates, we like, going in the right directions. Front footage charges are still something we need to address. And there's a couple ways we could do it. You could average out within a subdivision. You could average them out with a district and make everybody pay the same and be fair that way. As we come into these new districts, we could start doing that, because front footage charges, as people moved away from the coastal area, there's that word, Sam,
I knew.
Where the congestion was so much and they were driven out into the rural areas. And now all of a sudden we've chased them out there, and many of the people bought parcels of ground with large lots and this and that. And there's just, when they lay out a subdivision, some, you know, in the end of a cul-de-sac, some guy might be on the water and got 40-foot frontage, and the guy next to him or across the street in a little rancher, the large frontage, you know, is paying three times much. So there's no equity, or there's a problem with equity, I think, in the way we address it. We realized the fact when it came to service charges. Now then, I'd love to see some suggestions on how we can deal with front footage and dealing with that, because I don't think that's equitable. So there's my 2 cents worth, yearly.
Mr. President.
Mr. Wilson.
I believe, George, that's already been taken care of.
No, it hasn't, sir.
I believe it has.
Well, you're wrong.
Well, I saw the billing. I believe it's working on it.
Has it not anything been, else from council?
Is that, no. Aren't we trying to equal out these districts now on sewer districts?
Well, yes. And
I thought so.
On the 30th, you'll even get a broader view of this. And I have a meeting with the attorney Thursday to talk about the assessment and unifying that next.
Thank you.
We are.
Thank you.
Good. Moving forward.
All right. Mr. Better, George.
No, Sam, you're still wrong.
If there are no other questions from the council, we'll open this up to the public. Is there any member of the public that would like to address this issue? Any member of the public? Ms. Jennings, I do know that we did receive one letter, and it was from H. Clark Carbaugh, and he had a couple of issues that he addressed. I know you've had opportunity to review that, and there was one part of his letter addressed an issue that's already been resolved through the court system, but the other two issues, did you have a chance to look at those and address those?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Moore. He brought up two questions, and I just would like to read them into the record and address them publicly. The first one says, does the county intend to equalize the existing assessment rates over the next few years and stop creating separate rates for the new sanitary districts as they are developed? And the answer to that question is that each district is responsible for the debt that they've created. When you put pipe in front of their yard, they're the ones. We're not going to spread that over to another district, and that will stay separate. But we are looking into when the district is unifying it among the users in that district. And the second question is, why doesn't the county fully equalize the system connection charges for all sanitary districts in one concluding step and maintain the same going forward as new districts are developed? So he's talking about unifying the connection charges. As I said, this is the second year that we're doing this, and we've decided to do this over time because when the study came back, it was a large increase, and it would not be good for our residents to absorb that large increase. So we're stepping it over time.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's my understanding a couple more questions had come in and that you had addressed those. Had you addressed those during your conversation, your initial presentation?
Yes, they were addressed, and one of the ladies was here to speak, and she is here.
Oh. She's okay.
Good.
I don't know if this is relative or not. I have folks from a community that has their system all installed, and it has too much of some chemical in the sewer system, and the county is going to hook up, but using all of their equipment. Okay. All we're doing is, and they're questioning the rates that they're going to be charged, you know. So,
okay.
I mean, I don't know. Just
you can send them to me and find out which district. I will be more than happy to.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if you had been aware of that or not.
Okay. Depends on where they are. Okay. I might be, yes.
In my district.
Yeah.
Okay. And is there anyone else that would like to comment on this issue? Seeing none, Mr. President, we can close the public hearing on this matter.
We'll close public hearing, close public comment, and Mr. Moore, read a short title, please.
Yes, an ordinance establishing annual sewer charges, annual assessment rates for collection and transmission and or treatment and connection charges for all Sussex County water and sewer districts.
Pleasure of council.
So moved.
Motion,
second.
Mr. Cole, second, Mrs. Deaver. Any questions on the motion? Take the vote, Mrs. Deaver.
Yes.
Cole.
Yes.
Arlette.
Yes.
Wilson.
Yes.
I'll be yes, motion carried. Thank you all very much, and thank you, Mrs. Jennings, and all your staff for all your hard work. Now we'll revert back to Mr. Lawson for a proposed resolution for federal rule relating to waters of the U.S.
Thank you, Mr. President. Thanks, members of council, for adopting the budget. In your packet this week was